The rest of the board is on their way. I want to use this time to make a couple comments that I should have made this morning, and then we can see if there are, is anybody in the audience that wants to make a general public comment that wasn't here this morning. First of all, I think that we should all thank the Semer Science folks for a great conference yesterday. It was mentioned earlier. I know that a lot of people weren't able to make it yesterday, but you know, that's a biennial event to showcase the research that's been accomplished in the last 2 years. And I just want to take a moment to thank them for their work on that yesterday. The second thing I wanted to mention is, I don't know, for people outside of the public sector, is this is Public Service Recognition Week. So I appreciate all the nice comments to staff this morning during different comments. And please let staff know that they are appreciated, because they surely do work very hard. Okay, Patricia, is there anybody signed up for general public comment?
Steve, I know they were scheduled at 1 o'clock, so I think, I know at least Elaine is going to be here at 1.
Oh.
I know for the 1 o'clock.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Ken, are you going to testify again on something you didn't already say? Okay, come on up.
I know it.
So I hope when Elaine shows up back. Anyway.
Well, I'm not going to give you the leeway to talk for the next 25 minutes.
She's still very unhappy that we changed the schedule several meetings ago before, and she was quizzing Steve and I, are they going to change the schedule again? And I said, no, it'll be, you know, have an opportunity in the morning over the afternoon. The afternoon's going to be gone before she gets here. Anyway. Good afternoon. I'm still Ken Miller. I'd like to make 2 points this afternoon. One is that talk a little bit about the WFFA draft template and give it a little bit of an update. It's not on the schedule today, but it's still alive and moving. A new contractor's been hired to do an assessment of the science conclusions or review that were included with our template. First draft of that contractor assessment is imminent. A final draft should be available by late summer to forward to ISPR, who will then review the review of the review of our science and our template. The ISPR review is scheduled to be completed prior to the end of the year, whereupon the buck will finally end up fully in the lap of TFW policy, who will have to make the recommendations back to the Forest Practice Board as you requested in 2015. And I do note when you get around to staff reports, Scott, as co-chair, is going to report that those recommendations should come back to you in the February of 2019. I'm being a little bit more pessimistic to say. May of 2019, I think it's probably more realistic, but that's what we're going to be shooting for. In the meantime, we've had a couple of short meetings that from my point of view, were very meaningful, because we actually started discussing the merits of some of the metrics and some of the similarities with other rules and template efforts. Ideally, we'll be ready with the smaller stuff so that when the larger decisions really get on the table after the multiple science reviews, we'll be ready to make a quick decision or recommendation so that it doesn't get delayed too much further and can come to this body for a decision. Second point I'd like to make is a reminder. I'm again asking that you schedule your 2018 field trip. It's still unscheduled for October. There's a placeholder for it at our tree farm where we give you a visual presentation of the WFFA template proposal, and probably more importantly, give small forest landowners an opportunity to share any of their concerns with you, as you've done for the tribal concerns and east side forest health issues. So I think we're kind of overdue to have one of those sessions. I'm confident that we can meet your needs for professionalism while giving you insights to small forest landowners that are just not feasible in this setting. I'll stick around for the work plan discussion if you have any clarifying questions at that time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ken.
Okay. Get my brain straight here. Lisa and Connie, would you come up to the table, please? Lisa is the board subcommittee chair. She's going to give us an update on what's going on, and we get the opportunity to be introduced to Connie Lewis.
Thank you, Chairman Bernath. It is my great honor, as many of you have met Connie in this interviewing process, to have Connie here in person to give an update to the board. She is deep in the interviewing process, and I guess I want to make a general comment that I've had feedback from various sectors that they're concerned that there's some key individuals who have not yet been interviewed. Connie has a very extensive list of people who keep getting recommended, and in each interview somebody else's name comes up and that analysis is continuing. She is here to give us a very high level update of what is going on without completely tipping a hand and to identify a time frame. To my subcommittee members, I do want you to know that we will be looking at a subcommittee in-person meeting third week of June to actually get together and review some drafts. But I will not delay any further our expert to talk about what she has been doing, what she has found, and where we are going with this process. Okay.
Thank you, Lisa, and thank you, members, for indulging me and letting me slip into the agenda here, and I'm sorry I'm sort of messing things up by intervening, but it's much appreciated. And I just want to say it's really fun to be here and to see in person a lot of people that I've spoken to on the phone, and then also to reconnect with, I think it's probably about half the room that I've spoken to, maybe a few more, so that's great. Just want to be clear about the steps that are being taken and where I am in the process, and then just sort of a flavor of what I've been hearing. So as Lisa said, I'm in the interview phase, which is the initial just information gathering, hearing from different perspectives, getting ideas about what would be the most constructive path forward. And to date, I think I've spoken with right around 50 people. A few of those have been in group settings, so it's not necessarily 50 individual interviews. Right now, that's right around the number, and it keeps evolving day by day, so that's why I can't be quite more precise. I'm waiting for the completely updated list. And there are requests out to, I think it's about another half dozen to slightly more people requesting interviews. Some of them are in this room, and I'm going to encourage people to respond to the interview request. My hope is to conclude interviews in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be traveling internationally next week, so not available then, but we're striving really hard to try to get everybody scheduled before the end of the month. and realizing that we're working with busy people. So if it slips a little bit, you know, not later than very early June is the intent. And then what follows on from that is my taking all of the input I've received through those conversations and crafting what will be a draft summary of the concerns, suggestions, perspectives that I've heard. Non-attributional, so nobody is going to be named in the report, and it'll be rather a summary of all of that input. And then it will also include my takeaways and my suggestions as far as, you know, trying to synthesize from what I've heard. Here are at least some options, if not solid recommendations for what a process going forward would look like. And that will go out in draft form, and I'll be looking for feedback to say whether I've missed anybody's important points. And then to get some feedback on the suggested path forward. And then at that point, I expect I'll be sitting down with the subcommittee to have them look at the suggestions and the feedback and help determine what that path forward looks like. Key takeaways, and I want to stay very high level because, you know, as I said, the interviews are still ongoing. I think it's fair to say a universal belief that this program is important, it's unique, and there's a lot of good intent and interest in reinvigorating it, addressing some of the issues and concerns that people have, and you know, moving towards a more constructive future. Certainly there's a lot of frustration, but there are tremendous wealth of ideas for possible improvements that could be made. They're not all consistent. There's a lot of diversity, as you would expect, and as I'm getting a deep sense for just sitting in the meeting here. But there's a few consistent themes that are running through many, if not most, of the interviews. You know, one sort of goes back to the fundamental purpose for doing this process, which is a desire to get, not necessarily back to, but to bring forward some of the original intent, the collaborative intent, the sense that we're all in this together, that there's shared interests across all of the caucuses and the folks who are involved in this program, in having something that's functional, that achieves things that everybody cares about, and that starts at the or involves the principles deeply, but that it also needs to extend beyond just the principles. And I'm hearing lots of ideas about what that could look like, that recommitment, reinvigoration process. A second theme has to do with, you know, coming up in many of the interviews, is something to do with roles and definition about what each of the different bodies within this system are doing. So CMR, policy, board, etc. What the distinctions are, what the boundaries are between those bodies, what their authorities are, and just, you know, a real grasping for more clarity, because there's some concerns and blurred edges and confusion around that. And again, lots of ideas about how to create better definition. There's another theme around desire for some process modifications and improvements, you know, any examples. This isn't comprehensive, but around how the consensus process is applied, how that's working, whether there might be a need to look at some other models, how members are appointed, terms, things like that. A fourth thematic area would have to do with some of the administration details of the process, so how communication flows happen, who's involved, you know, who gets communicated to, by whom, when, and with what information. how materials are circulated, timeliness, and some of the issues we saw this morning. And that's just a sampling. There's many, many other things that have come up, but I just want to reinforce the point that people have been very responsive to my request to go beyond just saying, I've got a problem, I've got a concern, I've got a frustration, to what, well, then what? So I'm very appreciative of the forthrightness and detail and creativity, and you know, people really, really trying hard to provide constructive input, and I do feel like I'm collecting a lot of great information, and it's going to be a push to get it all synthesized and summarized well. But looking forward to the remaining conversations, hoping that those people will be responsive to our requests and get on the calendar, and then move forward from there. I would welcome any questions.
Board members, anybody want to ask Connie anything?
Yeah.
Board member Lori.
Thank you. I think you probably said this, but I didn't catch it in my notes. What's the time frame for these steps?
So finish the interviews if possible by the end of this month, have a draft summary ready to go in the early part of June, circulate it out for input, feedback, and then
circulate it to
all of the interviewees. And if there's, for some reason, there's, you know, people on the board that I haven't interviewed, it would certainly go to the board members, policy members, and then I would presume a couple of weeks for feedback on that, and then talking to Lisa about the timing for a subcommittee member meeting that would probably be, we're thinking last half of June, but TBD in terms of that exact timing on that meeting. And then the process going forward in terms of, you know, for example, possibly convening something that could include principals really will depend on what the subcommittee determines is the best timing and the precision around those steps going forward. So that's much less certain. But I think, you know, I'm hearing a desire to keep this moving and on track. So that's certainly the intent, is to move forward in a way that is expeditious, but also allows for really robust feedback on the draft and, you know, all the interviews that are being conducted. And so, as usual, trying to balance speed with transparency and being complete.
Anybody else? Thank you, Connie.
Okay, well, thank you all.
All right, Mark, let's get down to business. So board members, I mean, Mark's here to suggest some direction to us, and as he did before lunch, and you know, we've heard public comment on some of those ideas that he presented. There were some other ideas that were presented through the public comment period. So this is our opportunity to, if we're gonna, there are some things that may require motions because of actions we've taken earlier, and there may be some that we deal with informally or through the work plan.
So staff would like to recommend a number of motions straight up, as well as a discussion about what could be done during the interim. It appears that it would be good for the board to discuss how to proceed with that, not necessarily recommending a motion at this time. The first motion would be to approve and fund the validation pilot study to be completed this summer. Actually, it'd be summer and fall. they would combine. And consider changing the water typing system rulemaking timeline to have staff present to the board at their May 2019 meeting the full rulemaking packet, so to speak, in order for the board then to initiate formal rulemaking.
I think I'll take input from the board members, but I think that second phrase on the action probably goes with a different motion.
Yeah, it should be a standalone motion.
Not on that, Patricia, on the first above motion. There.
Yeah. Oh, this is just go away.
Ah, okay. Oh. That's just a suggested action.
Yeah,
there we go.
On the agenda.
That's better.
Yeah, that makes sense now. So the first would be a motion to approve the validation pilot study to be completed this summer and fall, and then report to the board at their November meeting.
So do we have a board member that would like to move this in a second so we can have discussion?
I'll make a motion.
Board member Lori is moving. Do we have a second? Sure. Board member Davies is seconding it, and any discussion?
Well,
board member Davies.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify because Mark said summer and fall.
Yes.
A couple of times, and I think that that just didn't get in there.
Yeah. Discussion.
I have a question. The way that reads, the validation study will be completed in the summer and fall of 2018. And we just saw from the science team that this was a five-year project.
This is the pilot.
This is the pilot.
It says pilot.
Yeah, validation pilot study.
Okay, this is the pilot study. Okay, I didn't
Patricia, can you blow up the text on there so we all can see it?
While she's doing that, let me ask Mark a question. Mark, so the pilot study is identified in the CMER budget that we got. I just want to make sure I'm looking at it correctly. It's at line 19. Oh, you don't have it in front of you.
I don't have it in front of me. I believe that right now the remember, Lori, did they separate the pilot from the validation?
It says, here, Sam. Well, actually, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
I thought it was one.
Maybe they're together.
I believe that the policy approved them together. And the state fiscal year going from July 1 to June 30, that the first budget would be, would reflect both the pilot as well as work to be done in the first year of the actual validation study, which would start at the end of the fiscal year. So it'd be work at the front end of the fiscal year and work at the back end of the same fiscal year.
I did say pilot and first year samples.
Oh, I stand corrected.
This might help answer your question, Board Member Lardy. Mark's correct as far as the components. I believe the cost of the pilot that you're being asked to consider here is $128,000 of the total figure that's included in the table.
Okay, thank you. That's the clarification.
Other discussion from board members on this motion? Board Member Gunther.
So the study design, are we going to get a look at that? When will we get a look at it?
So that was handed out after the break this morning. And it's been through the first round of ISPR. The second round will include stakeholder comments once we get the
it's at ISPR. We're waiting for comments to get back from ISPR. But those will be, there's typically an iterative process with ISPR. It's not a one-shot deal, because any comments ISPR has on a particular study design has to be addressed by stakeholders involved in the study. So,
could I ask a similar question? I mean, I understood that the ISPR had not responded yet to the validation study, but have they responded to the pilot studies?
No.
Howard.
The answer to that question is we're still waiting on the packet. The study design contains both components, and we're waiting for comments from ISPR on the overall study. So since they were sent together, we're waiting for them.
So you've submitted both the validation pilot study and the validation study itself to ISPR. We got a copy of it this morning, and you want us to approve it. Plus the budget.
The budget, we're getting ahead of ourselves now. Chairman's going to have to tell me what he wants me to do. But the budget, that policy approved budget covers fiscal year 19 that we're looking at. There is $726,000 identified for the PHB study, which the first part, $128,000, covers the pilot. There's a $50,000 scouting effort to start looking and doing the site selection for the full study, and then it also includes the money to do the first year of sampling, first season of sampling. So that's where that $726,000 come from. From the study design, these two things are not, it's not a pilot study design and a full validation study design. They're in the same document, and so ISPR is reviewing the entirety of that document.
I remember the pilot is just testing the methods that would be considered in the study design. Board member Sadiq.
So I'm getting a little bit of a sense of sort of conflicting directives to staff from us, and I'm a little worried about it, because we did ask them to start the process to get the validation study going in a timely manner. They've come back with us to say, hey, we think that we can make this study like really good and really efficient if we do pilot. But if board members need themselves to review the study design to approve it, like on top of the technical review process that's going on, that seems to me like it's going to slow it down. And so I understand and I hear some frustration from you about, you know, not having had a chance to see it yourself. But I wonder if we're just able to trust that they've got a good process going, they're reaching out to stakeholders. Maybe it was a little bit bumpy in the beginning. I've heard some concerns about that. But they're working on trying to fix that, get everybody's comments, get them incorporated, and get going in time so the pilot can inform a really good, efficient study and we're gonna approve like the rest of the study later, right? So we're just being asked to approve the pilot now. And so I think all I'm trying to raise is that it feels like we're making things really difficult on them to move forward on something we've already asked them to do. And you know, are there some assurances about process that you and others that are asking questions about this can get that make you more comfortable for approving?
I appreciate the comments, and it's not, my dad taught me that anything worth doing is worth doing right. And I'm concerned that we have not got back the ISPR comments yet. So I'm all for pushing ahead with the pilot project, But I would like to have better information, and I'd like to have it in a more timely fashion. So I haven't read the pilot project. I don't know if everybody else has. So that's all I'm saying, is that it's, now it's a serious commitment of funds. And I agree in principle, we need to push forward with it. The pilot study is an excellent idea. But I would like to see the science panel part of this as well. And they haven't commented back yet. That's the deficiency that I see.
So, Howard, when are we expected to have ISPR comments, and how quickly will we be able to turn around for that second iteration?
Well, we had already anticipated we were going to have those comments. They were originally thought to be coming at the end of last week. The most recent information I have from the AMPA is that we will be getting them this week. And then it's the process of taking those comments, building the comment matrix that will be part of the panel's work to address those comments. And we have a meeting scheduled, and I'll have to turn to Jeff.
May 23rd.
May 23rd to start working on going through not only the ISPR comments, but doing that in concert with the comments from the technical stakeholder review. I would anticipate that we should have, if all goes well, if that happens at the end of May, the first half of June, we will be sending a document back off to ISPR. Depending upon the nature of their comments, and I can't speak to that because I haven't seen those comments yet, then Chairman Bernath commented about an iterative process. We'll have conversations with them. You know, in an ideal world, it will be, thank you for those comments, they're very good, and this is what we did. And they'll say, that's good. And that should be a very quick second round of that. It could be done in less than 2 weeks, if that is the case. That process has, and the AMPA has been working directly and in discussions with the managing editor to try to make sure that it's going to be efficient. Everything is lined up and ready to go. So we certainly plan on having that done no later than the early part, probably the early part of July, so that we can get everything ready and make sure it's available to, because we want to send out the revised study design, the comment matrix to all the commenters, just making sure it's available to the board members so they have it in a timely fashion to see what was done and how things were addressed. So I think that's kind of the timeline we're looking at, something later than mid-July.
So is that going to be soon enough to kick off the pilot study?
The pilot study in the concept from the AMPA is that, yes, we can move that pilot study forward and get that work done. Because there's some preliminary work that we can be doing if we have the authority to go forward on that, to set up to be out in the field. Remember, the pilot study is a much smaller scale study. We're only looking at 30 sites, 15 east side, 15 west side, to do this. So the extent of that activity is on a very, very much smaller scale than what the full study, where we're talking about upwards of 300, 350 sites. So we're talking about 30 to test this methodology. So it's not a lot of field time.
Let me put this differently. So if you're thinking the ISPR process will be done and we'll have a study design pretty much done by mid-July, then we'll and we don't have any blows in the schedule, will we have enough time to complete the pilot study between then and report it back to the board in November?
It is anticipated that yes, we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
Is that clarify for board members, board member Davis?
Yeah, sorry, this may be really technical and maybe aim more towards a science panel
folks. The potential speed bump that I see is the scientific collection permit and the fact that if there's electrofishing as part of the pilot, it might not be within ESA framework under our scientific collection permits. So that might be a little bit of a hiccup. And then, again, maybe to the science panel, there's a pretty significant difference in water conditions in July and August and September these days than when we would normally see it. So I don't know how that factored into the, let's test the methodologies and whether those different water conditions might affect how we would inform the validation study moving forward.
Thank you for coming up, Jeff.
Yes, all those things are, we need to consider. Certainly the permitting process is one that might be a bit onerous, and we probably could use your help with that.
to modify our ESA permit.
I mean, there may be workarounds from the standpoint of the selection of the streams based on things that maybe aren't ESA listed, and so that might help us. As far as the water conditions, certainly this year it's going to be a little different, but it probably works in our favor a little bit this year, as far as the water conditions that are out there. So I think if we can get started in July and August, and we have a pretty good shot of testing the methods, which is really what we're interested in. And so, you know, whether the things work, whether they don't work, what kinds of logistical obstacles are we going to find? So, yeah, I think we can do it. But the sooner we get started, the better.
Mr. Chair, if I might offer a suggestion, I mean, I think at least I am in favor of pushing this forward, but I'm uncomfortable with some of the dates. This whole process has been hung up on the dates to do a rule here and something else here. And I don't want to shortchange the science part of it, which seems to be under the same burden, even though they may not say it. My suggestion would be is that the motion should say, I move the Forest Practice Board approve the validation pilot study to be completed and a report to the board upon completion. Take the dates out of it. Just do it and then come back and give us a report. Why do we have to hold them to these dates?
The little incentive usually is what it's like.
Well,
they work for you. They'll do what you tell them. Go as fast as they can, but some of these things are out of their purview. They can't tell UW to get us a report tomorrow because it's going to say no.
Yeah, exactly. And that's clearly happened today. The other thing is, the other question I have is, you know, we've heard people say they didn't have time to read the report. Is there any reason why any additional comments from stakeholders wouldn't be welcome before your May 23rd meeting?
As far as I'm concerned, no, but that's...
I would agree. I think, as we've talked about having open discussions, that if there are additional comments that are going to be made or provided, then yes, we would accept those and consider those.
Okay. So I heard a friendly amendment about how to change the motion. The movers, are you?
Well, I.
Or do you want to?
Yeah, I understand the concern that sometimes we get just tied up on these dates. I kind of feel like we need one. I mean, if we can't make it, they'll come back and say, hey, there was a problem, we couldn't make it. So I think we need to be understanding if that happens. So I'm comfortable leaving the dates that are there myself.
I am too, and I feel like that's what we're doing today, is we're amending the timeline, and we have to do it again.
We have to do it again.
So, yes.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion by board members? All right. All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
I'm opposed.
Any abstentions? Motion passes. Mark, come back up. Thank you, guys.
staff recommends the next motion would be to approve the timeline to bring all the materials to the board at their May 8th, 2019 meeting, for the board to approve the draft rule and direct staff to initiate the CR-102 and to start a formal one.
To consider approving.
To consider, yes.
Do I have somebody to move the motion, please?
Did you make a change?
No.
No, I was commenting that in May we would consider what staff brings us to move forward.
So basically we're just moving November's date to May.
Well, actually, motion we made at February said we would do it in June, but we're moving it to is May of 19th. Pushing it out. So do I have a motion?
Excited. if we don't change the date, is it going to be coming to us in June?
No.
I'll make a motion to get this on the table in front of us. Move Forest Practice Board approve staff recommended water typing system rulemaking timeline to allocate the time needed to complete rulemaking materials in time for the board's May 2019 meeting. And we have left the word out of there. I'm sorry about that. But I know this will suffer from the same concern Board Member Nelson pointed out, that are we tying the hands of folks in the process? But I think we need to have these marks out there.
Let's get a second so we can discuss it. Thank you, Board Member Balish. Okay, discussion.
Did you want to add?
I think we need to have these marks out there.
Okay.
We need to have some target to have a sense. I think all the stakeholders need to kind of know what is on our mind as for completing this. And this is our best timeline at this moment.
Any other discussion by board members?
Yep. Go ahead, Dave.
Board Member Guerrero.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Or one of the issue that the tribes raised, at least one of the issues and comments earlier this morning, and I heard other folks raise it as well, is we had, I think in February, set a timeline that we thought would result in some new rules in place for the field season in 2019. And obviously that's not happening, and we're talking about moving what we were hoping to do back a whole other year, which means that if we got it completed in that time, the new rules would go into effect in the 2020 field season. And I've been concerned about some of the comments from people today about such as, well, we already know, we've already identified all those points in like 3/4 of the watersheds, and so, why don't we just go with what we have? And I think, I'm not sure if people are losing sight of what I think we're trying to do here, and that is to protect and restore salmon populations. So, identifying a point where you don't see fish anymore above that is not, in my view, adequate the way we're doing it now. And I'll give you an example. I got a message today that our staff have seen said between 150 and 300 spring Chinook in the Skokomish River. We haven't had spring Chinook in the Skokomish River for almost 50 years.
Cool.
And then they're a result of a restoration program that we started as part of the relicensing of the Cushman Dams in North Fork. This is the first year of returns of four-year-old fish. So, you know, my point is there may not be fish in some of those areas right now, but just like we're seeing spring Chinook now, returning to the Skokomish, you know, we're making it a point to protect the habitat, restore the habitat, so it's there for those fish when they come back and are able to utilize that habitat. I feel like what we've been doing is, you know, saying, okay, well, there's no more fish above here, so we don't have to do anything there, and losing sight of the fact that we're putting a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of money into trying to get fish back up into many of those areas in the future. So I think what we're going to do in the future, at least I think what we're trying to do, is develop rules that are more protective of habitat for when that happens in the future. So the concern I've heard is that until we get something in place, or that the current rules aren't good enough, but until we get something in place, people are going to continue to be able to operate under the current rule that we have. And so what I heard people asking today is, what are we going to do in this extended interim period to get what we thought we were going to have back in February? Mm-hmm. So all that being said, I think that we, the tribes, should be able to work with the state, primarily WDFW, as the co-managers here, to maybe take a look at developing something as an interim while we finish this rulemaking process that we could start to implement in the 2019 field season. And I think if we have a little bit of time to work on that, which I think we do, because that season is next spring, essentially, late winter in the spring, you know, I'd like to see us be able to work over the next couple of meetings in August and November, I think, to be able to develop some kind of guidance. I've heard the Lenny memo mentioned as a potential example of how guidance has been provided in the past, short of rulemaking. I don't know, maybe that is a type of approach, but I wanted to make sure that I brought that issue up, and I'd like to see the board support that approach.
So, Board Member Herrera, would you like to make a separate motion on that issue, or do you want to do something more informal and bring back to the board for consideration? Good either way. I heard the same comments by several caucuses asking, can we sit down and talk about things that might be done in the interim for the 2019 water tech season until we have a new rule? And the only caveat I would have is as long as it's an administrative activity,
right,
as opposed to a new rule or board manual, certainly DNR would be supportive of that.
So I wasn't prepared to make a motion at this point because I'm not sure what I would want to include in the motion. I would want to be able to confer with our co-manager on this, although I would suggest we could, and I agree with, I mean, we have to follow whatever's administratively available. It's the only pathway I think we have, but I think that there must be something there that we can use. And I mean, maybe would offer that, I think we could come back at our next meeting and be prepared to make a motion.
Board Member Davis, do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think we're happy to work with our co-manager to brainstorm what something like that might look like and come back to the board and you know, put it through the test of the motion process.
Member Sweet?
Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to add, we would certainly work with you and your staff and our attorney to make sure that when we're proposing to do something, we have the ability and authority to be able to do as well.
Sure.
Member Sweet?
So I like this idea, and I like that it would be the tribes and DFW sort of leading the discussion and figuring out how to incorporate ideas from others. I'm wondering, from a procedural perspective, I mean, I'm more comfortable supporting this motion, even though we sort of don't. It sounds like we don't have any other choice, like there's no way to compress the timeline in order to do things correctly. But I'm still, you know, sort of overcoming my sense of shock that there's like such a disparity between what we thought could happen in February and what's there now. So if hypothetically I were to vote against this motion, it would be entirely, you know, a futile protest. So, but that being said, I am more comfortable supporting this motion to change things given this suggestion. And I also understand that it would take time to come up with like the content of a recommendation. And so we don't want to put anything like that in motion now. But I'm wondering if we can memorialize this agreement that there's going to be some proposal developed for the 2019
sure.
season within this motion. So not
when,
content, but just process.
Well, let me ask this, just because if we're not gonna either include this in a motion or make another motion, then what we need to do is just capture it in the record, I believe would be the appropriate way to do this. Mr. Parliamentarian.
Yes.
I mean, just having the conversation and having a couple of board members commit to reporting back to the board should suffice, and that if that gets captured in the record.
As far as doing supplemental guidance for the 2019 field season?
Correct. A commitment that they're going to talk and report back to the board.
I think probably the record does capture that. The motion pending doesn't concern that.
Right.
Right now.
Yeah. Remember.
So I understand that we don't want to have a motion relating to content of any such recommendation, but I'm sort of curious about or confused about why the motion couldn't reflect that this discussion is going to happen as just a more, I mean, sure, it's in the record, but it is more formal to say, yes, there is a commitment to come up with some interim guidance for the next season. And that's part of the motion or part of the agreement to pass this extended timeline.
So do you want to amend the motion then?
Can I get in on this?
Member Nelson?
Yeah.
Can I get in on this too? Because while I understand what you're trying to do, I have not, you know, part of the reason that I made the motion for the last meeting to analyze these alternatives was I was not comfortable with the science and the information that we had in front of us, including I did not feel, and I still do not feel, that there's any scientific data to show the inadequacy of the current rule. The current rule is not the end of fish. The current rule is fish use. It's the end of fish plus some habitat on top of it. And I have not seen anything to show where it's inadequate to the point where we need to have a special interim rule for the upcoming season. That was part of the idea of doing these projects, was to analyze three alternatives plus the existing to get the data necessary to make an informed decision. I feel that this would be jumping the gun. I think it's a great idea to come up with some ideas for this, but couldn't that be done in the context of the ongoing studies? That to me would be a better route, to simply say, well, we need to have an interim rule. What's the basis for that?
Board Member Davis. So if I understand what we're talking about here, it's not an interim rule at all. It's really just taking a look at the guidance that we currently have and putting maybe a little more focus on it to minimize any potential risks that might come from a delay. So it's not, I mean, we can't just do a new rule.
Right? What
that's rulemaking outside of the rulemaking process, but I heard Board Member Herrera refer to like a Lenny Memo 2 that might put a sharper point on the pencil to make sure that people feel that we're managing the risk that might come from the delay that we didn't anticipate.
So you're talking about expanding the guidance for the existing rule. Is that correct?
Yes. If you recall, last February, Joe Schramek put out a replacement for the Lenny Memo. Still had the main content, but the idea was to clarify for this current season we're in, what the guidance was, administrative guidance was. That could be added to if there was a, you know, agreement. And that's simply a memo for Joe to all the participating parties. And it, as I said, my comfort level with this is good as long as we don't do a rule or suggest another rulemaking process or another board mandate process, because staff is already focused on the future board manual when we implement FM.
That helps to clarify.
Okay. Board Member Davis.
Maybe it's a friendly amendment, but I wonder if I could offer some language to add to this that might clarify this.
Make an amendment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So where it says time needed to allow the tribes and DFW to develop interim guidance regarding the water type modification forms via an administrative memo or the like, and then to complete rulemaking materials.
Maybe you can hand that to Patricia so she can type it. And then everybody can look at it and decide whether you're comfortable with that amendment. So you're moving an amendment, Board Member Davies?
Yes.
Is there a second to that amendment? Once we get it, see it. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, if I may, this administrative guidance would be issued by the DNR. I would like to request that DNR also be a participant in the discussions. That would include our DNR regions, because they're the ones that actually do the implementation on the ground. And I think we need to be mindful of the fact that they have to, you know, implement things and fully understand what we're asking to do through some additional administrative guidance.
Yeah. And I guess, Board Member Davies, you're not trying to exclude any particular interest in this, are you?
No, not at all. I was just reflecting the conversation.
Thank you.
I sort of assumed that DNR
would. Well, or other.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. To allow for, you can take that out.
Okay.
How about?
To allow for the development of.
Or to develop recommendations for interim guidance.
Okay.
Because then we all have to.
Yeah.
I mean, other people need to weigh in on it, and then we would need to be comfortable. I don't know that the board needs to approve it, but is it DR?
Right.
If it's a memo.
Yes, thank you.
Mark, does that give you the comfort that you were?
I think perhaps we should clarify that the administrative memo would be issued by DNR.
Yes.
Why don't?
By August.
So let me make a suggestion. Allow the tribes and DFW lead a process to develop recommendations. That doesn't leave out anybody, including us.
Lead a process to develop.
With a date. I just said by August.
To develop.
Mr. Chairman?
Board Member Willem?
I heard from council earlier that this discussion, and I'm not entirely against this whatsoever, did not really correlate with what our original motion is. And I would like some, like the council at least to weigh in on this, so I have a little bit better understanding now, you know, with these amendments.
So as it was originally proposed, there was a discussion occurred, and there was, that was a different topic from the motion. And now there's been a motion to amend, which is still evolving. Eventually we'll have to go back to the person who did the motion to amend to see if these amendments are agreeable. Then that motion needs to be seconded, and then it's properly before the board. Any questions on that?
Okay. Is this what you?
I added, if people were saying we need to add a timeline, so I said lead a process to develop recommendations for interim guidance by.
Microphone, please.
We need to add a timeline. So by August is what I heard people at the table saying, which I agree with.
Which August?
This August.
Mr. Chairman, I'm a little confused. I'm more than a little confused. But there are two different thoughts in this motion. There's one about having this informal interim guidance to existing rule, and then there's the complete rulemaking materials in time at this time certain. It almost implies that the interim guidance is somehow tied to the rulemaking materials, which concerns me.
Yeah. So let's, can I get a second on this amendment first so that we can properly discuss it?
I'll second.
Board Member Sweeney. All right. Now, discussion. Board Member Nelson is concerned about having two thoughts in one really long sentence.
So, Mr. Chairman, and I concur with Board Member Nelson. I just feel like we should keep these separate. Keep it simple, keep it separate, keep the topic separate.
Board Member Sweeney?
If it works better for other board members, I would certainly support pulling that out into a separate motion, but still wanting it to be a motion. Still wanting us to.
Do you want just a long motion with two different thoughts, meaning two different paragraphs, or do you want two different motions?
I'm open, and it was your original idea, so what do you think?
I would prefer it all the same. I don't know that it legally so makes a difference.
So can staff? Let's take a 5-minute break, and staff will break this into two thoughts, one motion.